Hi, I'm Mike Holvey, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Back in April, we attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas. Over the five-day period of the convention, over 61,000 attendees were gathered together. We had a number of conversations related to sales, recruiting, innovation, technology, and of course, AI. RAB's immediate past CEO, Erica Farber, and I took the opportunity to sit down with thought leaders from across the industry as we talked about what their plans were for the future. We'd like to give a big shout out and thank you to Inco and Benstown for allowing us to record live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention, including some live stream interviews, which was a first for the RAB. In our 13th episode of the series, we hear the conversation that Erica had with Colby Tyner, who is Senior Vice President of Programming at Radio One and Reach Media, which is a part of the Urban One family. Now, Colby's passion for radio is obvious. He has an exciting perspective on content, creativity, and how to leverage technology in helping radio companies grow their brands and thrive in today's media environment.
Colby, thank you for stopping by Radio on Main Street. But before we get into you and who you are, you walk in here and you just won a Crystal Award,
yeah,
which is a fantastic award given by the NAB.
On one of our newest stations that we just acquired last year, KKBQ in Houston.
So
shout out to Travis Moon and Pam McKay and the entire team in Houston. What a great honor it is. First of all, it's an amazing team, and we've just started working together, and for them to win a Crystal out the gate, and these things are so hard to get.
Yes.
For them to win it was really a cool accomplishment, and we sent congrats to the whole team. So that's what I was rushing over here after telling everybody, because it's such
a
cool thing to get.
It is so fantastic, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Now I'm sure the rest of the stations are going, I want one of those.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was talking to the general manager from the winning station, and we talked about, you know, it requires some pre-planning to submit for this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of our stations in our industry, we're running thin. We're not normal like what we used to be, where we used to have, like, a promotion person and a copyright person. Like, you know, we come from a different era of radio where we just used to have bodies. And now, because of technology, there's not a lot of bodies. So, you know, you need dedicated resources. You need people that can write. That everybody's not good at submitting something like that.
Correct.
But we actually, and I kind of led the way on this just to encourage more of our stations to participate, because we are doing so many cool things around the country. And, you know, like in one of our markets, we never won a Crystal Award, but, you know, we gave away 1.5 million boxes of food over 3 years. That's a lot in one small market.
A tremendous amount.
Yeah. So, like, there's so many cool things that we're doing, and we're like robots. We're just working. And, you know, that's the part of our business that I wish that we could, you know, improve upon in better times to have more resources.
Well, you're right. And at the same time, it's such a good reminder that as we're doing these things, to document it at the time.
Yeah.
Because to recreate it 6 months,
correct,
a year later is so hard.
Yeah.
But if we keep it top of mind, by the time it's ready to submit, you've pretty much put it together.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about, pre-planning and just kind of being a part of in the moment when it happens and just not moving on to the next thing. Take a minute to recap it. So, yeah. No, for sure. We want to definitely be a part of that more. And I think this win is really going to get energized more of our stations to share the things that we're doing.
Wow. Again, congratulations.
Thank you.
You come from the content side.
Yeah.
So if you would share a little bit about your background and then how the content side is structured within your company. Because you've got the network side,
yep,
and the station side.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I saw a woman just now who was there on my day one in radio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, like,
when's the last time you saw her?
No, I mean, I've seen her over the years. But, you know, she's personally responsible for 9 Crystal Awards, right? So this woman is amazing. And I started in radio, and she was one of the she was the news and public affairs person, and she's still in that cluster of the station where I started at.
Fantastic.
So it's really cool, like, you know, when you think about your career and all of the people that you cross paths with and the positive things, input that they had in your career, it's just really cool, like, man, just to see it, to still be around, because we don't, not a lot of people that we started with are around. So I'm overseeing programming for the radio division and the Reach division. The Reach division is our syndicated division. We have a really cool group of talent that have been, some have been there for a while, but we are the largest urban syndicated company content-wise. I mean, we have D.L. Hughley, Ricky Smiley, Amanda Seals, who we just signed about a year and a half ago, The Morning Hustle. We own the inspirational format, so we have some of the biggest names in the format and on the radio,
right,
and they're doing phenomenal. So I kind of oversee all of that. I work with our digital teams, and on all of our shows have digital teams, and then from a local perspective, we have a digital team. So we're constantly, like, in sync with one another on content opportunities, taking advantage of the things that are happening in our industry, and also taking the content that we get in one place and spreading it out in other places. And then I work with our digital division, which is in a completely different, you know, division, where we have, you know, 100 websites, and we have all of these different aspects of the company. We have Bossip, which is sort of like a gossip site that we acquired. So it's a really popular site in the urban community. So, like, we, like, take information or things that happen, and we make sure we get it from Bossip or vice versa.
So you repurpose.
Repurpose it. And, yeah, for yeah. sure. Yeah, we have this huge footprint. I mean, our company in general, when you add in TV One, we reach 8 out of 10 African Americans per month. So it's like, you know, we have a huge footprint, and we try to take content that we create and spread it around. We try to...
And that content is... on not just Urban One radio stations.
Correct. It's yeah. on. It could be on any of our platforms, especially if we have something that's just, like, super, you know, big, that just, you know, just people are talking about it. Like, so for instance, we have several talents that sometimes are TMZ is, they're on TMZ, right? So, like, it's like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, let's hope it's for the right reasons.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's always that LAX that gets you out in the park when you get off the plane, when you're looking crazy, asking you a question. But there are also there were some moments where there were, like, big interviews that were almost negative to some of our talent who are also big, right? So then we have the platform that we can respond immediately, and then everybody comes to us for the content because it's the person responding. It's
sure.
the endless cycle, which the one part of our business that I don't like, or not just our business, just in general, like, I feel like America has become way too tabloid focused. It's always gotcha, you know, like, instead of, like, really...
I got you now.
And a lot of times it's misinformation. It's not even true. So it's like you feel like you have to defend yourself against something that's not necessarily true. But we have the kind of talents that are, you know, that things like that happen. So then we're able to react, and then everybody wants our content responding to whatever that situation is.
Well, and how fortunate for you that you can actually somewhat control the narrative after something's
Correct.
Been said. So
Correct. In conjunction with the talent, for sure, yeah. We
right.
definitely want to do that. I mean, we support all of our talents. And our talents are doing, like, you know, we had one of our inspiration talents sang the national anthem for the Super Bowl a couple years ago, right? So, like, we have people that are on these massive,
Big.
You know, platforms. And so we try our best to, like, cultivate them and grow with them and partner with them.
Right.
You know, we also do a lot of stuff in the event side. That's, like, another whole... area where I think radio needs to spend a lot more time on. Like, people, I'm just so sick of people beating our industry up. Our industry is a major megaphone to anything that you would like to do in your community that you're in. And I don't care what anybody tells you. Like, there's no streaming service that's going to pull, you know, 20,000 people for an event, or that's going to inform people, right? And I think that radio sometimes doesn't understand, like, we have this really massive reach. I argue with my daughter. So my daughter's 17 years old. Now, I don't want to say argue. I don't argue with her, but she's 17 years old, and she doesn't listen to radio, yet she listens to radio because she's listening on a streaming device, right? So one day I come downstairs, and she's on the, we have the smart speakers all over the house,
right.
And she's listening to a radio station on the stream, and I'm like, see, you're listening to radio, right? Like, we don't embrace the fact that our platform is, the distribution of our platform is how people are listening and connecting
well,
with.
Well, and the definition of the word radio has changed.
Correct.
It's not a device.
It's not a device, yeah. So people are still engaged with us. They're just doing it a little differently. Like, I still listen to radio wherever I go.
Right.
Anything that I, anywhere, any place that I go, if I drive or if I'm flying in, I always like to listen to radio, see what people are doing. I mean, and I also listen to the podcast space, because the podcast space is a place where, which really is another form of what we've always done in radio, but also it's a great place to develop talent and come up with ideas and concepts of things that maybe you think don't necessarily work on a day-to-day radio perspective, but you can actually utilize it and monetize it from a digital side.
Sure.
So that, you know, now, totally in my brain, when I used to be able to like recruit talent or look for talent, I'd be like, oh man, I got to figure out what makes sense for radio. Now I'm like, boom, we're going to do a podcast, and you know, we'll work something out with the talent, and
right.
if it turns into something grander, then we can flip it into the radio. So right now, the Amanda Seale Show, which is probably our newest product on Reach.
Yes.
You know, she is a comedian, actress, and huge in the social media space. So we just went to her and was like, hey, let's do a daily radio show that's a podcast.
Right.
And it's so fascinating, Erica, when you look at the data, because there's over 500 cities in America that are listening to this woman's podcast. And we're only on in maybe like 10 markets from the radio side. But now, like, when we go to markets or we go to talk to people, we can say, hey, man, look at this. Look at all these people in your community.
They already know who she is.
They know who she is, and they're listening to her. And now she'll remind them on the podcast that she's on the radio in these markets. And, you know, I think it's a really cool, this was a sort of a pet project of mine, trying to find, like, the future, the next. Because I do think radio has to recognize that social media reach and how that works with talent is super important. And if you could tap into that, you could bring a lot of ears back to radio that don't necessarily like listen to radio. And that's the experiment we're trying with her. So we did a deal with her. We have her for the radio podcast, and we also brought her personal podcast, which is very successful.
Yes.
And she has two of the top five podcasts in the entire company. So she's definitely been a success story from a digital perspective. And even on the rating side, we've seen some slow growth in a lot of the markets. But the future of talent is really going to be like sort of opportunities like that, where you can kind of like maybe start it digitally and then turn it into some sort of radio show. Because there's so much great talent out here on the podcast side that not even that radio hasn't even touched yet.
So it's almost, you know, I'm thinking about the model that we saw years ago that the record companies started to implement. It's almost a 360-degree arrangement, if you will, with your talent now.
Yeah.
To get them involved in all of these platforms.
Correct.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. You used the word monetize.
Right.
You know, as a content creator, that's changed dramatically.
Sure.
Because we're all responsible for bringing in revenue or affecting revenue. How does that work within your organization?
Well, and I'll take it even further. I stress to all of my program directors constantly. There used to be this like church and state program director sales, right?
Yep.
We hate the salespeople.
Right.
In my years as a program director, I know I got on the salespeople's nerves because I gained more control over programming and then made it more of a reasonable working relationship. Mm-hmm. But revenue generation and programming is even more important now than it's ever been. Everybody is accountable to bring in new clients, but also to come up with ideas and concepts that are different, right? Because it's like, nobody wants to talk about this, but spots, you know, like just the general running commercials, like you gotta, for clients, you wanna deliver for them a little bit more, right? And our audiences are so committed to our brands. There are so many cool things that you can do. So
right.
Everybody's empowered to think revenue first. I actually do huge brainstorming sessions with all the salespeople and all the programming people at least once a year, where we actually, and I have a partner that's on the sales side, and we work together. Our offices are two doors down for each other, and we're always working together to come up with ideas and concepts, and then he can go out and sell it, and then we implement it. And that is like a constant machine, because to me, Erica, this is an untapped opportunity for radio on the NTR side. There's so many things that we can do on our brands in between songs that are A, less of a distraction of just a long stop set.
Right.
And then there are creative things that you can do, right? You can bring different people into the fold. And so we're constantly like working on that. And everybody in the company has been empowered to, you know, think along that line.
So you're implementing that strategy at the local station for level sure. as well.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in the sales meetings and making sales calls.
Yes, we're all salespeople. We're all representing our brands.
Yes.
And as you, I mean, this has been reinforced here, but like, the personal side of connecting with a brand and connecting with the audience, that's what's driving podcast advertising.
Right.
So we need to do the same thing with radio. There's nothing like that person that you have on the air. So our country station in Houston, which we recently acquired, I went to their holiday event. They do this big holiday event, and they bring in all of these big country artists, and I'd never been to a country event before, so it was like a learning experience for me. But what I also learned was the staff that we have on the station, and how we had clients there, and all of the clients were so interwoven with the talent. Like, they trusted in the talent, and so their dollars were like committed based on the talent. So that is something that we need to exploit everywhere, and Houston is one of our, you know, Houston and Atlanta and D.C. Are just three of our really good markets where we have really good engaging talents.
Yes.
That are generating revenue through clients. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we talk to our team about all the time, about our talent. And actually something we look for when we're going to hire new talent. You know, do you even understand the art of, you know, the sell, right? The art of pitch.
Working with clients.
Yeah. And that stuff
so
really
that's
works.
That's interesting. It's changed the interview process.
For sure.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just like you look at social media. Like, you know, it's a very interesting dynamic over the last 10 years. I've always been like, I was social media savvy the moment it happened. I loved it. I still, every day I am on multiple platforms, just that's how I learn information, right? And so usually on our younger ended stations, most of the talent was adapting to it as it was growing.
Right.
And then you would have a couple people that just, no, I'm not sharing of my life. I'm not, and it's like, that's the future. Like, you gotta be able to connect. I love the Pivot podcast with Kara Swisher, and one of the panelists said exactly what I had in my brain yesterday on one of the panels at the conference, talked about how much I know about her based on listening to the podcast. I don't know that woman from A Can of Paint personally.
Understood.
But I know
but
all
you know
about
her
from listening
you know
to
her.
The podcast. Yeah, she's amazing. And then she just, the stories that she tells, and then the amount of information she shares about herself. And that's why people can connect with you, because they're like, oh, you're like me. Oh, I get it, you know. And so for our talents that are like that, they benefit more than the talents that don't. Like, you can't just be a voice anymore on the radio. Shoot, they got somebody approached me yesterday about AI and, you know, duplicating voices and stuff. Like, you don't want to be that talent where they can just punch your information into a machine and clone your voice and then you're
Let's
on air.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, no, we don't want that.
You'll be
Obsolete.
Excuse me, I got yes. tongue-tied there.
We don't even want to say it because it's so
right.
scary.
Right, it is so scary, but you will become obsolete pretty quickly.
Yeah, but just to reinforce that, so when we hire people, we look at, you know, we look through their social media, we look how they express themselves online. Do they share of themselves? Is there a connection between their social media and their persona on the air, right? And that's an important piece. So early on, a lot of our stations in older formats, a lot of the people didn't adapt to that, but then some of them reluctantly did, and then they became like masters at it. So there's some people that don't even work for our company that I watch on social media that have been in the game as long as I've been in the game, or even longer, that have really mastered social media, and it has helped their career, and it's helped them financially. They've been able to garner so many opportunities from clients, from sponsorships, because of their social media presence. So we try to kind of tie all that together. Like, if you want to be insular, like, it used to be a lot of insular people in radio, like, you know, I'm behind this mic in this room, you can't even see me.
Right.
Now you got to be in front of the camera, you got to be able to post content, and I'm excited about many of our talents, because it's sort of like the DNA of everybody now, where I don't have to convince you to do it. You know what I mean? But if I'm going to hire you, I'm definitely looking at that.
Well, and I bet that you have your talent almost challenging you on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Because you create that environment that allows them to come up with new ideas and new branding opportunities.
But how about this, Erica? You can't get nothing past Kobe because I'm on social media.
So
we
had
I see it. So we had a talent yesterday who we cultivated and hired and brought them in, and they had a huge ratings yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, again, sharing that information online about just exciting about, you know, just coming into this job and then watching my, you know, growth and success.
Thank you for supporting me.
Yeah. So they did the thing, and then I just wrote on there, you know, like that I was proud of them, right? So I'm in that space. I know what's happening pretty much everywhere. Like a lot of people be like, oh my God, I'm one person in this company, but thanks to smart speakers, I'm able to pop in and out of everybody's station. So like when I do my morning workout, you know, like 6 o'clock, I'm able to go through all of the morning shows. I'm able to send real time notes to people. And they're like, how do you do that?
And that's really calling in on the listener.
Oh, no. That's not, you don't even, that doesn't even exist anymore.
I know.
But the point is, you can really hear. And actually the other piece to this is that, you know, a program director, I mean, I started in radio as a kid in the 80s. It's so wild because when I saw this woman earlier before I came to see you, I was 17 years old when I started in this business. My daughter is 17, about to be 18. So it's like, it's mind-blowing.
How can that be? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's insane to me. But, you know, you see over the course of time how these things just, how stuff evolves. And it's just quite fascinating, right? Like when you look at it. And so I love this, Erica. Like every day when I get up, I can't imagine doing anything else. Like I feel so blessed and excited that I've been able to do this for 30 something years. And it's fun for me. And I remember before I was a full-time radio employee, I was a part-time employee for 10 years just trying to figure this thing out and struggling as a young adult. And I remember some of the full-timers, how they took this for granted, and they were just arrogant about it. Like, we're going to get $150 an hour. They can't pay me more. And I'm like, you get $150 an hour to make an appearance to drink at a club? Like, are you nuts?
Seemed like everything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, yes. It's like, so I still have that same mentality. So, like, I get it. Listen, everybody has their life, and the generation sort of after me, the millennials, there's definitely a work-life balance thing that they have where they're able to be like, I don't care. They cut it off. And I don't necessarily have that. But I also just enjoy just the process of being able to listen to different shows and different talents and connecting with them. And now I feel like a part of everybody's life because I'm in that space. Like, you can't manage it unless you're in it. Like, you can say you can manage it, but you got to really be in it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I know all of our talents. I try my best to connect with everybody. I follow them all on socials. I follow all of our stations. And I probably spend 2.5-3 hours a day on social media, right? And
wow.
Yeah. And it's so many different social media platforms, right? So it's a lot to manage.
So, Colby, what advice do you have for salespeople to help them communicate better and work closer with their content and programming departments?
I always say this. Whatever the dates are that we get paid, we're all in this together. So I try to explain it to programming people, but also to salespeople. Like, you can't bully your way through programming anymore, right? There are a lot of people that have not evolved. And so you have to evolve. In whatever department that you're in, you need to evolve in your approach to your job. I have come tremendously evolved. Like, I always talk to other veterans when I see them that are still in it, and I be like, you know, there's a lot of people that can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, when I was a kid in radio, the program director had a music director, had an assistant music director. The program director just basically was sort of like the leader, and they went to lunches with the label reps because there was a million record companies, right?
And there was a full-time music director.
And there's a full-time, yeah, as I'm saying. And now it's like you have to take that on, and you have to take on the digital responsibilities.
Yep.
And then for the salespeople, we have less salespeople, right? So they're running like a chicken with their head cut off trying to keep up. And so there's a lot of sometimes rush. We're in a rush, and there's not a lot of quality time spent on, you know, let's go meet a client of yours. Let's spend some time with them. Like, if it's that worthy of a client that you think could be significant revenue, let's put a plan together, right? So I would encourage any salesperson to really, like, take a step back and think about the bigger picture with clients and the bigger opportunities with programming, and form relationships with not just the program director, but get an understanding of talents. You know, I see this not in many different companies where you have salespeople that are totally disconnected from the brands. You got to find people that are passionate about the brands and passion. You can't just, anybody just can sell. But if you are passionate about the brand, I always remember this in my entire career where that seller was so passionate about the brand, so connected, hanging out.
Well, they listened to the product.
And they made the most money. So it's like, you gotta like embrace that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's part of it is on both sides. I tell, there's some programmers that are still in our industry that think that, you know, they can push off the salesperson. Right. It's like, no. Whatever your pay dates are, we're in this together. Like, we're literally in this pot.
Absolutely.
And we got to work together. And we got to think about, like, what's that next great thing that we're going to do? And then implement it. You can do anything. And I think sometimes people are so caught up, Erica, in what it used to be or how things used to be. And it's like, no, you have to evolve. You have to, you know, like, we didn't used to be able to get real-time information the way we get it now.
Well, to that point, the people that say used to be is what we did an hour ago. That's how fast things are changing.
Well, I say this. Every year is like 10 years now.
Yes.
How wild is that?
I know.
And a lot of people cannot grasp
that. It's
overwhelming. It is overwhelming, you know?
I know endorsements are a big thing.
Sure.
Have you learned anything, any tips about what makes a great endorsement relationship? Anything you can share with us?
I think for the talent is being super authentic. If you're super authentic about a product or a business or something, then you can't fake that, right? And so I think a lot of people historically, I know I used to do it back in the day when I was on the air, like, oh, you're going to pay me? What do you need me to say? See, I don't drink. But I used to endorse alcohol, but I'm not a drinker. I've never been a drinker. I got paid to endorse it because guess what? I wanted to make money, right? So I think it's real. And we're learning from podcasting, just the great podcast ads that you. I love listening to the podcast, and that's weird for me to say it, right? I teach my people to listen to podcasts and certain podcasters and listen how they sell a product or how they connect the product. And I don't care where you come from and what background you're in, meaning broadcast-wise, right? Because
yes.
A lot of podcasters are super raw. If you got a passion for something, it's going to come out. And guess what? People are going to connect with a product because of your passion.
Right.
So it's really about just being authentic and really taking your time, not rushing through it, like really like putting, but the last I was on the air was I was in Cleveland, and I never forget, we had this great seller, and she was trying to pitch this law firm, and I said, cool, I'll go with you to this law firm, and we go to the guy's office or whatever, and I sit with him in the office, and I said, we're going to do these 60-second shows about whatever it is that you're doing. So whether it's slip and fall, car accidents, whatever.
So legal tips.
Legal tips, right. Yeah. This is 11 years ago.
Got it.
And now it's commonplace. But he was so sold on me in that moment because he could be himself in that 60 seconds and pitch. And I was asking him the right questions. And the endorsement was so good. It was genuine that when I left, he still wanted me to do it. And then there was another client in Cleveland, Mr. Chicken, which is like a huge restaurant chain in the Cleveland area. And I used to listen to the commercials on the radio, and I was like, man, these commercials are just, they suck. So I went to the seller, and I said, let's go have a meeting with Mr. Chicken. It's a real person. And I'm going to write certain things, and I want to be able to tell me what it is that you want, the goal that you want each weekend or whatever it is, and I want to write the spot for Mr. Chicken. And so she gave me the goals or whatever. We met with him, and I started just creating my own versions of commercials for him, and he loved it. And not a lot of talent can do that, but that's the kind of commitment that you have to make with a client. And that's a long-standing client of Urban One in Ohio. Like, he's been spending with us for 25 years, right? That's a big deal, like, for us to cultivate that. But he really appreciated that from me. And again, I was at the time, I was a parent. You know, I had a young child, and I got what he was trying to pitch in regards to families and that dinner and, like, coming home from work. Coming home from work and, like, who has time to cook? Let me go to Mr. Chicken and get the family whatever special is that night, right? He loved that. No one, I never did that before, right? Like, I never sold it like that. It's always existed, but you actually brought out the real reasoning. So from a parent's perspective, listening, like, I'm going to do that on the way home. I don't feel like cooking. That's a great deal from Mr. Chicken, right? So, again, those are the type of things that, you know, you have to just really be savvy with it. But, like, I always wanted to make money. So, like, it was like that was the way that I was going to make money. And I made a significant amount of money as a talent in endorsements because I took that approach. Now, it took me years to get there and years to build relationships. But, again, that was another client when I left. Can you still do this for me?
Right. But you understood the concept.
Yeah.
So as our time is coming to an end right now, thinking about the future, and I don't mean 4 o'clock today. Mm-hmm. I'm really talking about the future. Is there something that you're most excited about, you're interested in, and focused in on thinking about the future?
That's a great question, because I got to tell you, from the conference, the NAB conference, this is the first time that I've ever been overwhelmed at a conference. I mean, wow. Like, it was just, I walked in and I was like blown away. So what I did was I contacted one of my engineers who's here.
Uh-huh.
And I said, man, when this is over, I want you to take all the notes of all the stuff that you've, and a bunch of people came to me with stuff that they were pitching.
Sure.
I said, at the end of this, me, you, and all the engineers from the engineering side,
let's
connect and let's talk about it. So let's work together collectively. I am bullish about our business. I feel like our business gets a bad rap, and I'm bullish about the future because there is nothing like the connection that we have with our audiences in radio. And so while I was here in Vegas, I went to see the Michael Jackson One show, the Cirque du Soleil, right?
It's amazing.
Erica, I was like, I sat there and I said, radio, this whole thing was built on radio.
No question.
You cannot deny the success of Michael Jackson and all that music and how it changed the world.
No question.
But it started in America on the radio.
Yes.
And it's like, we don't have enough of that passion in our business for people to understand, like, we are bad. We're like amazing. Like, we need to puff our chests out, but we also need to evolve. So I'm constantly working on concepts and ideas that can expand our footprint, but also try to keep up with that 1 year, 10 year thing that's happening, right? And I'm trying to encourage other employees to come along on a ride with me. Like, there's so many cool things that we can do together, and there is nothing that you can't do. Like, we got to get out of that mindset. And I get it. Sometimes it's financial, like, we can't afford it or whatever. But there's always a way to create something. So I'm always looking for that next opportunity, because what we have, which has changed my life, what we are a part of is amazing. And we can never forget that. And as I watched Michael Jackson and I saw the songs and I went through my whole career.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we need to be more proud and excited about that, because, like, that would have never happened if it wasn't for us. And there's so many.
We have nothing to apologize for.
No, this is, I mean, gosh, that was, like, amazing. Like, I was so blown away. But also, I also would like to close with anybody that's watching this, is that we always have to never forget our creative roots. And so as leaders, we are so bogged down now with administrative. I mean, it is like, man, I am an administrator. I am a coach. I am a psychologist. I am a problem solver. But I am dedicated to creativity.
And a CFO.
Yeah, and a CFO.
And you're managing a budget.
Yeah, but you can never forget creativity. So if you could ever take time to figure out, how can I live my work life better and still be creative, you got to do that, or you're not going to make it. You're gonna get burnt out and frustrated, and you're going to leave the business. And little thing I told my team I told my team this in January, and I do it every January. And I was like, go through your emails. How many emails do you get from God knows who somehow got your email address that you're on all these little things that clog up your email, which take like hours of your year that you have to spend going through the BS emails to get to the emails that are important? Hit stop. Hit stop on them or unsubscribe on them. Like, that is the thing that you have to do to make your life a little bit more efficient.
Dave Casper at the RAB changed my life. We use Outlook.
Okay.
There is a setting in Outlook that's focused and other.
Correct.
And it will sort your emails.
Yes.
And you know, to that, I forget to go to the other section, and sometimes all of a sudden I'll open it up and I have hundreds and hundreds that'll sit there that I don't even look at anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I only look at these, and it's changed my email
yeah.
life.
But that, again, your time is super valuable. So what I try to tell the people is you got to work on your creativity. Most of us that got into this on the programming side, we're creatives. I'm a total creative. Like,
yes.
I'm like, I work on creative projects with my family. Like this is like a thing that, this is a thing that I
but
that
that's
I do.
Who you are.
Yeah, that's what makes me. Like, I happen to become an administrator, but man, do I love the creative process. And if I had just to be an administrator with no creative, I wouldn't do this. Like, you got to be creative. And I think people in our business have got to hear that and understand it. And what I've learned from the entire conference is, man, there's so many cool things that are happening with technology, and don't be afraid of it. Embrace it and learn, you know?
Like, open
that,
your eyes.
Yeah, that's like, this is, you know, and you will live, you will work a long time in this business if you think in that approach. But if you don't, the business is going to push you out the way. Like, this is what happens, and get somebody that thinks along those lines. And that's the secret. We just gave you a secret. So, like, there you got something out of this podcast.
I love the energy, and I love the information, and I love the passion. Now, before I let you go, because
sure.
I know you've got a lot of places to go, we have a campaign about radio matters because,
sure.
if you would just finish that sentence, radio matters because...
it's a part of all of our lives. It is. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. Like, there's some part of your life that you have a memory for radio. I don't care how old you are. Like, it is a part of our life, and never forget that. There's nothing any other business or streaming or whatever can take away from just the power of the radio and how it affects everybody. And trust, if you go to talk to anybody about radio, they will tell you a story about something in their life, and never forget that.
Well, thank you so much. This was fantastic.
No, thank you for having me.
And have a great rest of the show.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for having me.
Growing your talent beyond the airwaves and making sure that your audiences can find you wherever they are and maybe where they wouldn't necessarily expect you to be. Those have been the keys to recent wins Colby has been overseeing. At the center of it all is making sure that the programming, digital, and sales teams are in sync with one another. As Colby enthusiastically shares, we are all salespeople, and everyone is accountable. He partners with his sales team members to ensure that content producers and sellers hold brainstorming sessions regularly. So from ideation to selling, and then on to implementation, what used to be a church and state approach is now a collaborative effort. Lastly, Colby's message of continuing to evolve and being creative is key to staying curious and excited about what's next for radio.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.